welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 176. We've had our fun. We've looked back at last year. We handed out awards. Now we really dig into looking back at last year. We start our positional reviews one by one by one, and we start with the best one tonight, the catcher's position. Of course, in order to do that, though, it's a little housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Probably not as good as you, because like this is one of your pinnacle episodes, catcher review. Yep. Like this is
where it all began.
This is the wheelhouse. I actually wondered if I even needed to pop in tonight, but I'll be along for the ride.
Yeah, you gotta tell me I'm crazy or laugh at me or something. So it's okay. You gotta keep me in line a little bit. Someone has to, otherwise. Yeah,
I'll laugh at your Bo Naylor.
See, there you go.
Preseason call. I'll be there for that one, but.
Yep, remember those. That's yeah. Good.
But no, I'm doing good. I'm excited for positional reviews. We got a ton of cool feedback actually on the last two episodes, and that's something we're trying to do with the podcast, just kind of going forward, but also this offseason, just kind of come up with different kind of creative ways to make this both informative and fun. So it was great to hear from a bunch of you all that like the Bubba and the Bloomies, despite your tuxedo t-shirt. As well as the beer bets. Those were good. Back to a little bit more of the formula. We'll probably mix in if we have any other ideas for more creative shows, we'll kind of mix them in between these position reviews. But these things will keep us going for a little while every Tuesday, yeah. Thursday in the fall. So
before you know, we'll be previewing 2025. But yeah, we're going to mix in some like DC talk and some other, probably do some live gladiator. That's probably going to be in the books, stuff like that along the way. So no doubt about that, as Burks in the chat says, easiest episode of the year for Ryan. That is true.
Tonight, yeah. I'm hanging.
But like, I thought it was funny, like you mentioned the last two episodes that were fun. I got multiple text messages from buddies of ours. Lucas Beery sent me a funny text as he's listening to one of our recaps. I can't remember if it was the awards or the beer bets, like just laughing about one of our picks. Ben Tidd sent me one. And when we talked about the fab pick, we talked about Victor Scott. He was screaming at his phone saying Christian, or he said Christian Scott. And finally, I think Michael C. in the chat mentioned Christian Scott. And then Yancey Eaton texts me and goes, dude, you wore a tuxedo t-shirt on your show. That was the text. So people are enjoying it, which is great because there's not a lot of content out there. People kind of take a breather right now. And we don't stop around here.
I'm quietly wondering, because that the tuxedo t-shirt was a little bit of a curveball at me. Quietly wondering if you're bringing that thing to first pitch Arizona. I know you're not going to you're show your hand, but I'm just curious what other tricks you might have up your sleeve for the live show.
I have nothing for the live show yet. I told you I have an outfit kind of for golf on Sunday, which, by the way, folks, right. we have one spot left for our five foursomes. We're almost fully up to five foursomes, Ryan. Anything else you want to throw out on that one?
No, you covered it. We are close.
Very, very close. Not a whole lot of news right now. Like eventually we could probably do a news show or something, because there's little things like guys are having surgeries or this, that, and the other, but nothing too crazy just yet as the postseason's rolling on. So, Ryan, I just wanted to real quickly get your thoughts on the postseason, because you have the American League, which it's good baseball, and then you have baseball on crack in the National League, which we kind of all thought like the NL series would be pretty awesome, and so far so good on those ones. So any thoughts on the early series? As of this recording, Padres are up 2-1. The Mets are up 2-1 on the Phils. You have the Royals 1-1 with the Yanks, and you have the Tigers and the Guardians 1-1 as well. So thoughts on those?
Are the Yankees? I thought the Yankees were down 2-0. Are they not? No, it's 1-1. Never 1-1. Mind. I'm an idiot.
Yep.
I mean, so the postseason, like, I don't want to be a downer or whatever. I always call it just it's a coin flip. It's, you know, whatever. Like, I think Aaron Judge can't hit in October because he doesn't have a hit in six plate appearances or whatever this season? No, it's just it's whatever. But it is entertaining as hell. It is entertaining as hell, especially, I mean, really, I don't want to say especially on the NL side. Like, those two series are kind of the marquee ones. And really, for us, Dodgers Padres is like, it's awesome. It's just so damn,
it's the best.
Entertaining. But even, I mean, like in Detroit, watching Tariq Skubal do what he did, the Skubal and pitching chaos is a ton of fun. Like Cleveland gets up for everything. Yep, that was Kerry Carpenter Virginia Tech alum Kerry Carpenter, home run off of Class A was just crazy. The first, I believe this is right, the first left-handed hitter to hit a homer off of Class A since sometime in like July 2023, which is just
first three-run homer in forever. Class A, it's insane.
It's been an awesome postseason, and I am looking forward to continued awesome games.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Tigers getting their first home game on Wednesday. Yeah. That's going to be a – they had a rally on Tuesday where they did a drone show, and the entire downtown was packed with people. Like, these the Tigers fans are ready to roll, so that's going to be awesome. You got the Royals getting a home game versus the Yanks. That's like an old-school rivalry that some people might remember, so – that'll be a doozy as well. And then I wouldn't mind seeing that Mets game series go back to Philadelphia for a game five in the bank. That will be chaos. So, yeah, it's been awesome. Baseball's been great. Postseason has really not disappointed right now, at least this round of the postseason. So really, really good stuff there. Michael C. in the chat says, the fun, weird thing about baseball is we simultaneously have the most numbers to know who is good, but it's given to so much variance that any team can win a series or three. Mm-hmm. Trust me, as a Giants fan who won him as a wild card twice, I understand. So you just need a couple good pitchers and see where it goes.
Yep. Yep.
All right. The moment has come. Catcher review 2024, Ryan. Before we get started, would you like to enlighten us on what we're looking at this evening?
All right, so yeah, we can't do a series of position recaps without, you know, handcrafted bloom boards here. So I just threw the catcher board and up on the screen for anyone watching on YouTube or watching the stream afterwards. This will be kind of the format that we'll follow for every position, and very similar to what we had last year. So just to kind of walk through everything that we're looking at here, but would also describe it too, is basically I've got the top 30 catchers sorted by their preseason ADP. We kind of were talking before the show. It's like, which one might be better sorted by preseason ADP or by actual 2024 ranking. Decided to go ADP. It's a little bit more, I think it's a little bit better, like talking points, because you can kind of talk through the draft and go at it that way. We will also mention any kind of breakouts that happen outside the top 30, which there in catcher there were only two. We'll kind of tease that one till later. But we've got the top 30 catchers sorted by ADP. We also have their 2024 ranking, so their end of season ranking, and that's from the Fangraphs player rater, which is really cool. Something they put out this year. I've been using that a ton. So we've got the 2024 ranking, and then we have color coded, of course, because what isn't color coded on a bloom board? We've got batting average, homers, and steals. Just so we can kind of look at a position at a glance, kind of look at the colors and see what were the strengths, weaknesses, etc., at different pockets of ADP this past draft season for each position. So hope it's easy to follow. I will tweet these out. I actually have tweeted this already from my account. I will also tweet this out from our podcast account at Bubba Bloom Pod if you want to kind of follow along while you're watching or listening to the podcast.
Yep. It's going to be a fun one as usual. We'll hit the top, you know, 10 to 15, and then we'll kind of go through pockets towards the end, depending on time, and cover the top 30 catchers from the season ADP wise, of course, before we get into those sneaky, sneaky surprises this season. And we'll start with the first catcher off the board. This is a player that I wanted nothing to do with at his ADP this past year. That was Adley Rutschman, hitting ADP of 66 down the stretch, finished sixth at the position, Ryan, 250 with 19 homers, one steal. Plate discipline was still pretty good. Walked a little less than I think people anticipated with Rutschman. They have said he's been dealing with an injury for about the second half of the season, which was pretty interesting to see how that goes out throughout the offseason. Surgery, no surgery, what's going to go on there? But Rutschman was good, but not ADP good, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, anytime you've got the number one catcher who finishes sixth, it's kind of like it's not terrible. But given the way that Adley Rutschman started the season, I thought there was no way he would end up sixth. And maybe that kind of goes to what we didn't see out of Baltimore late in the season. Adley Rutschman in the first half had hit 294, 15 homers, 55 RBI, 44 runs. Like, that was the thing. Like, Adley Rutschman, I don't want to say was easily the number one catcher in the first half, because we do have Sir William.
Bite your tongue.
Yep, we do have. Is it Sir William or King William Contreras? So I don't want to say Adley was going away with it, but Adley Rutschman in the first half was just unbelievable. And then, you know, maybe hit an injury. With a 194 batting average, 4 home runs in 281 second half plate appearances. So totally took a dive for Adley. It's kind of interesting for as consistent and strong as the catcher position was in 2024. So 8 of the top 12 catchers returned top 12 value. The top two guys at ADP, you kind of wouldn't take again. Adley Rutschman and JTR, who we'll talk about in just a second.
Yeah, totally. Some other options, but Adley was not quite that dude as some hoped. But again, if there was a phantom injury or something, can't be too bummed. He's one of the top catchers off the board still in these early drafts. As we record, the NFPC is open and people are drafting feverishly.
We have picks to make tomorrow, man.
The meatball draft begins, restarts Wednesday morning. So we got that going as well. So yeah, very, very fun stuff there to see where that pans out. I don't have a catcher in that league through the first 11 rounds. So we'll see where that goes.
That's not a good thing, given that, given what we saw this, actually the last 2 years at catcher,
but he's got to know how to navigate the minefields. Second catcher off the board is JT Realmuto with an ADP of 77. This was quite the interesting situation here as he finished 12th at the position, 256 average, 14 homers, 2 steals. He was banged up quite a lot this season. So you could do the grain of salt thing with JTR. He's also 33 years old. That kind of comes with the territory behind the plays, but a lot of innings back there. What's your thoughts on JTR? Because this is one that really curious to see how his ADP keeps playing out in this early offseason. But last year, I, again, was not very interested in him. And the fact he only stole 2 bases, that's why you take him this early. And that's a big bummer.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it could be, you mentioned the injuries. JTR was out from June 10th to July 20th with a knee problem. So, like, certainly that probably cut into our guy's stolen base total, just those 2 steals. But yeah, did very little for you, JT Realmuto. And I nominated him for Gene Segura Award last week on Bubba and the Bloom. He's just someone who in your lineup, and you can't do anything about it, especially in like 2 catcher leagues. You're not picking up a third catcher and benching JTR, maybe when he was hurt, whatever, but he just kind of killed you. And yeah, I think the combination of age and the knee, it's like at some point these guys do break down. And with JT Realmuto, I'm not saying this is the end for him, and we'll talk about kind of 2025 outlooks later in draft season, but it's like as these guys kind of get early to mid 30s, it's like at some point it's going to start to fall. And this was definitely a fall for Realmuto, especially when the next guy off the board 10 picks later in ADP, it's kind of that opportunity cost, right? Was William Contreras. And that's just salt in the wound if you took Realmuto.
Yep. 10 picks later, the third catcher off the board, William Contreras, ADP 87, finished the year number 1 overall for the second straight season at catcher. You had to pay for him a little more this year, though. So at least you got rewarded for this scenario with Mr. Sir William Contreras. He should be knighted for his work behind the plate in fantasy worlds. Dude hit 281, which is outstanding, off at 289 the previous year, 278 the year before that. So I don't want to hear this might be who he is, as I'm going to try to say there. 23 home runs, 9 steals for a career high, nearly 200 combined runs and RBIs. That's pretty darn impressive as well. Actually walked more this season for Contreras. Barrel rate, everything was pretty good when you look at William Contreras. So don't have a ton to say besides he's the GOAT behind the plate. And the best thing is the dude's 26 years old. 26 years old. DHs or catches pretty much every day. So this is everything you want a catcher. I'm just scared about what I'll have to pay to get him this year, and I probably won't have much of him.
Yeah, and we will worry about it in the future. But yes, William Contreras. So it's funny you mentioned the 2 years in a row that Sir William has been number 1. So last year is William Contreras, and this is just dollar values going off of the Fangraphs player rater. But he only, and I'm going to put air quotes, only earned $23, which led all catchers. Adley Rutschman was second with $21, so like a $1.50 difference. In 2024, William Contreras put up a $30 season.
Yep.
and no one else even sniffed $25. So like the gap between William Contreras and number two, who was Salvador Perez, was just massive. Like William Contreras was so far ahead of the rest of the position that it was one of those, I don't want to say league winning picks, because that doesn't, you know, that's not a thing in fantasy baseball, but like, God, if he took William Contreras, what he did compared to every other catcher in 2024 was just such an advantage. That the nine steals that that leads all catchers. So only Connor Wong had eight. No one else had more than six. And that was Bo Naylor. So like the speed is an underrated part of Sir William's game. Just an all around great season. And yeah, you are going to have to pay mucho bucks for him in 25.
You will have to pay quite a bit for him. Again, that'll make things rough. But so far, back-to-back years of proving to be quite important when it comes to winning fantasy leagues. And our buddy Michael Cicchini, who's in the chat as well, he put out a tweet that I'm trying to find right now, but I can't. He mentioned that I believe it was like almost half of the main event top 12 overall or whatever.
Yeah.
Had William or Adley on their roster, so they went catcher early. Now that still means the other half didn't, so it's not an automatic formula. But what it also does say that even in 2024, where if you waited on catchers, things don't look good if you check this out. But if you went early, you had a nice chance to win. Where in years past, people said you're passing on too much value. So I want to emphasize the fact that if you did go catcher early, you could put together quite the roster in that one.
Yep.
Now, if you drafted this guy, well, he paid off in the first half.
He wasn't that bad, man. Yeah, come on, let me get contentious.
Let me finish.
Continue. I'm ready to go here.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to poke the bear for a second. He started off very, very well, slumped horrifically, but had a nice September. See, I was trying to be nice there. The 92nd ADP, fourth catcher off the board, Will Smith, finished fifth at catcher. Now, is that a detriment to the catcher position or to Will Smith's, I guess, overall production? To be continued on that. But Will Smith did finish the year 248. That is the lowest batting average of his career. He had 20 home runs, which, you know, that's not bad, three of the last 4 years. One whole stolen base, which is so impressive. So he still tons of runs, tons of RBIs. Like at the end of the year, his stat line reminisced what you'd expect, maybe slightly better than what he's done in recent years. So I'll give you that, Ryan. Now the floor is yours. Fight back, as I just actually complimented him.
Yeah, I guess I'll stand down because you finally came to your senses and realized Will Smith actually had a pretty decent year.
Will Smith when I was told to.
God. It's interesting. I am actually sitting here right now with Will Smith's baseball forecaster box in front of me for 2025. I have it's my first page. And it's just funny how, you know, just listening to you, how bad Will Smith has been, blah, 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 blah. This is basically the exact same season we've had from Will Smith that we had in 2023. Yes, lowest batting average of his career. Hit 258 in 2022, 258 last year, 248 this year, like, whatever, 10 points. The biggest thing with Will Smith, again, in Dodgers lineup, runs an RBI, 77 runs, 75 RBI. To finish, to have this quote-unquote bad year and still finish top five at the position is really good. And I actually don't think it's a detriment of the catcher position. So I ran some numbers today in prep for the show. The top, again, this is all from Fangraphs Player Rater, the top 12 catchers last season averaged $16.50. in value. The top 12 this year, $17.23. And a lot of that, if you take William Contreras out of that, because he was so much better than everyone else this year, catchers 2 through 12 average $16 on the dot this season. Last season, $16 on the dot. So it's just kind of interesting the depth of the catcher pool, at least at that kind of your catcher one, pretty much the same in 2023 as it was in 2024. So all that said, for all the ups and downs of Will Smith in 2024, it's just interesting that he basically finished with the same line that he did last year and ended up a top five catcher.
What I took away from that is William Contreras is really, really good. That's what I took away from the dollar values.
He did shift markets there in the top 12. So had to do it. Had to do a remove William Contreras disclaimer stat there.
And I will say this much. Will Smith, yes, finished fifth. Great. And as the fourth catcher off the board, can't really complain. Fine. Take it. Fair. I guess for me, like, there was other catchers later on that I really, really liked. And at least looking right out the gate, a couple of them finished better than him or close to him at a much lower ADP. So that's the kind of yin and the yang of the situation. We'll see how that pencils out when we talk more. But a lot of it's, I guess, opportunity cost is the question to have. And Will Smith, I'm expecting one of these days, because if he didn't have that September, which he did, can't take it away, we're not having this conversation right now. Let's be very honest about that.
The September was, I mean, it hit 265, three homers. Like, it wasn't like legendary compared to your guy, Austin Wells, it was, but.
Yeah, compared to the guy, Austin Wells, it was. Well done. That is good. Bloomfield. Well
done. Oh, yeah, man, I'm coming out. I'm a little too hot right now. I got to.
No, I like it. I like it. Keep it coming, because now I'm going to pull some stuff out for you. So if we want to talk about down months, in May, Will Smith hit 212, but did hit six homers. So that's good. In June, he hit 203. In July, 208. In August, 194. That's where I'm saying that 265 helped tremendously. Second half of the season, Will Smith hit 206 with five home runs after hitting 272 with 15 homers. Second half of the season, not very good. So
agreed. No,
just
agreed.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, if you wanted the full season, but to Gialdi's point, I dropped him when I was told to. If you did and replaced him with someone, you got an even better player. So think about that. Think of the big picture here. Big picture. Like, if you added some of the sleepers we might talk about a little later, that could have been real nice.
Not if you added Austin Wells, you didn't get a better
player. If you did for the first 2 months of that stretch, you did great. I'd actually like to see how you add all that together. He still might be better if you combine the two. But all right, I don't think people want to hear me yell about this much longer. The fifth catcher off the board, ADP 114, who was my second catcher off the board, Yainer Diaz, and he finished third at the position, better than Will Smith at 22 picks later. So that's already a win in my department. When you look at Yainer Diaz, dude hit 299, 16 bombs, two stolen bases, only 154 runs and RBIs, which was better than Will Smith. And this was after a horrific start to the season for Yainer Diaz, where people were contemplating dropping Yainer Diaz. And then he reminded everybody just how good this kid is. And even at the end of the season, he was playing every day with Victor Caratini and sometimes a third catcher. So they wanted that bad in the lineup no matter what was going on. And I big kudos to Yainer Diaz, because similar to William, who's 26th, Yainer Diaz is 25. So we got some young catchers to enjoy right now.
Yeah, and to kind of throw some numbers to back what you just said, since we are a complimentary duo here. Yainer Diaz had 619 plate appearances. That is huge for a catcher. I didn't realize he played 11 games at first base. Like, the guy, I mean, you're not going to use it, but the guy, like, qualified at first in season and maybe in some, you know, 10 game eligibility leagues for next year, but also 37 games at DH. So to your point, like, Houston put this guy in the lineup every single time. Like you said, when they had Caratini there, it was not a problem for Yainer Diaz's playing time. And I think that just sets such a high floor for somebody if you're looking forward to 2025 with the skills of Diaz, but just getting that much playing time, it's going to help. And yes, kind of the anti-Will Smith, right? In May, Yainer Diaz hit 200 without a single homer. After that, batting average by month, 362, 337, 304, 303. So just an awesome season. Now, even though he did only have, what, those 16 runs?
16 homers, yeah.
Dude, to get 70 runs, 84 RBI, hit 300 in that lineup is just awesome. So kudos to and yes, did out-earn Will Smith. I'll give you that. Kudos to Yainer Diaz. It was not looking good for a while there, and then it looked real good.
All right, that's the top five catchers according to ADP this past season. Four of them finished in the top six. So remember that one. If you went early catchers, you got your money's worth. Let's put it that way. Now we go down to 6 through 10, and I didn't expect this guy to be bad. I did not expect this guy to be this good. And that is Salvador Perez, who is 34 this past season. He'll be 35 next May. He has an ADP of 143, nearly 30 picks after Yainer Diaz. So a two-round gap in a 15-team league, essentially. Sixth catcher off the board, finished second at the position, Ryan. I knew he had a good year. This is why I love doing these shows. Did not expect it to be this good. This is impressive stuff. He hit 271, the best since 2021. 27 home runs, his best since 2021. 104 RBIs. Never would have guessed over 100. I wouldn't have guessed over 90 RBIs. Strikeout rate the best since 2017 for Salvador Perez. And what I love to see the most is we used to say, you know, he gets you 130, 140 games. Well, in his MVP season, we're at 48, or MVP type season, I should say, we're at 48, played 161. He played 158 this last year, second most of his entire career. This was an amazing season. Now, can you bet on that at a 35-year-old year? Who knows? But the dude's a beast. And even when he was hurt, we get those injury updates and you think like, okay, he's done. Well, he go DH for a day and then you catch again. Dude, you couldn't keep him off the field. So amazing season for Salvador Perez.
Yeah, it's like Salvador Perez shattered his leg yesterday, but he's back in there again today. He'll DH and then he'll be back at catcher the following day. It's just, yeah, the 651 plate appearances for Perez, I believe, leads the entire position at catcher. It's more than Adley, it's more than Yiner Diaz. But either way, once you get up to like 650, it's just nuts. This guy, I don't aging better than JT Realmuto. We'll just leave it at that.
It's fair.
I didn't have any Sal Perez. I don't know how to time Salvador Perez, but man, I don't know how he does this. He is bionic, had an just amazing year. I don't really have much else to say. It was impressive stuff.
Yeah, plate appearance, William Contreras at 679, Salvi 652, Rushman 638, Raleigh 628, Yiner Diaz 619. Only five catchers with over 600 plate appearances. And there's Salvi, the second best at the position for fantasy this year.
Which is a nugget to tuck away for next year. If you're drafting early catchers, and given the trends that we've seen in the last two seasons with early catchers, it has paid off. It's just the floor is so high if you get somebody with over 600 plate appearances. So if I was writing things down, I would write that down.
Yeah, you should write that down. You should try writing. You have paper next to you. It's pretty nice. But yeah, no. If you want to go even deeper, there's only nine catchers with at least 500 plate appearances. It drops off fast at the position.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. But yeah, amazing stuff from Salvi. They got Freddie Fermin, who's still very, very good. So, you know, Salvi could turn into a DH first base, God forbid, in the absence of the Sasquatch again, and or catch. Like they're going to find ways to get Salvi's bat out there. It's pretty impressive stuff. Got to make Gialdi happy, that's for darn sure. And he went deep in Yankee Stadium on Monday, so that's always fun. All right, this one like hurt because it looked so good, and then it was bad, and it looked so good again, and it was bad. I know you were all in on Wilson Contreras. I liked him a lot. He went one pick after Salvi. Here's where stuff gets fun about making the right pick. And Contreras didn't crush you. Seventh catcher off the board, 14th at the position. Not horrible. Not bad. But what it comes down to, the dude just couldn't stay. He gets hit by a pitch. He hurts his hammy. Dude played 84 games, his least since 2020. Hit .262 with 15 homers. Like, he played really well when he was out there, but he could not stay healthy, Ryan. So what's your thoughts on Wilson Contreras, the other Contreras, because he will be 33 this next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as we have Sarah Sanchez in the chat clamoring for, at first it was William, now it's the Contreras brothers, and now it's any Venezuelan catcher for the win, I'll be say. But I think Wilson Contreras was great process, bad result this year. Yes. I mean, just, you know, broken arm, broken finger, like you can't predict that stuff. And this is someone, like you said, Bubba, the playing time has been there at, you know, basically 500 plate appearances in each of the last three seasons, like a little bit under that every single time, but 486, 488, 499 plate appearances for Wilson Contreras. If he approached that again this season, Wilson Contreras would have been probably a top seven catcher and return the value. So I don't think there's any kind of disappointment here. Yeah, it's disappointing. He only finished 14th, but for Wilson Contreras to finish 14th while missing almost half the season, a little bit less, on a per game basis, like, he was fine, and I think he'll be fine again next year. So I'm not too worried about the age with Wilson.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was awesome when he was out there. It's just one of those. And what made it difficult in like a fantasy terms, if you say NFBC, we don't have an IL, you had to carry three catchers because you eventually dropped him when he was going to be out for the remainder of the season. But all those little knickknack ones in between it all, you couldn't drop them. And that's where stuff got a little frustrating as well. But can't predict injuries. He seems to be kind of heading. The hamstrings was what concerned me. It's like back-to-back years of that soft tissue stuff. So that's the concern. But then the hit by pitch is, what are you going to do? That's just baseball, especially last season. Lots of that last season. So, yeah, I still like him. I have nothing negative in that regard. Just a bummer that he kept finding the IL. Now, a player that found the IL a lot, and you should never have drafted him if you listen to this show, was Sean Murphy with an ADP of 149. He was the eighth catcher off the board, and he finished 49th at the position. And he played in 72 games after playing in 108 the year before, 148 the year before that, 119. So he's never really been a full-time guy except once. Just remember that. 10 home runs last year, 25 RBIs, 19 runs scored. You know, he still played 72 games and had 25 RBIs in that offense. Hit 193. I guess that's why you only have 25 RBIs. So I'm going to say a rather rough season. He got his barrel rate dropped tremendously. His hard hit rate, 36.5%, by far the worst of his career. So, yeah, rough year. People are going to say bounce back time, which it could be, but I'm still not a Sean Murphy guy.
You really never have been, and I think I think that's a W for you. Even though, yes, there was an injury, he basically missed the first. Well, basically missed just, I mean, April and May. That's a big chunk of the season. But when Murphy did return, it was, and you always wonder with these obliques, it was a different guy. You mentioned the lower barrel rate. A lot of that is because he just hit a ton of ground balls. 54% ground ball rate for Sean Murphy. He's never been over 45 before, so I don't know where the hell that came from. A super low BABIP, like, yes, that meant 193, but you can't pin this all on the injury. It with obliques, you just never know, like, when he came back, was he fully healthy? And then on top of that, you do have what we thought was, you know, the vaunted Atlanta offense, which was the exact opposite of that. So that's just a further kind of nail in the coffin with the 19 runs and 25 RBI for Sean Murphy. It's terrible. So I actually do think he's a decent bounce back candidate. The problem is, I think the market likes him so much more than we do, certainly more than you do, that when you say buy the dip, I don't think the dip's going to be that low for Sean Murphy.
And the other part I'll mention is, because I'm saying all these injuries, I was out on them also because Travis d'Arnaud is there,
yeah,
and they will play Travis d'Arnaud. Like, everyone wants Sean Murphy to play 148 games. That's never happening in Atlanta, ever. Like, if you get 120, you've had an amazing season from Sean Murphy. Now, Braves management said after they got eliminated from the postseason, the idea was to have Sean Murphy play 4 to 5 games a week, which means Travis plays 2 to 3 on a 7-game week, just slightly better than a platoon. So is it 60-40? Is that what we're going with here? If that's what you want with your catcher one, cool. Don't draft him at that ADP, though. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that's not a catcher one at a top 150 ADP. So that's been my biggest argument. So I want to make sure people know I'm not clowning injuries on this. Like, he's just not going to play every day. That's the reality of it. All right. The ninth catcher off the board had a magical season. That was one Cal Raleigh with an ADP of 151. Fourth catcher overall this season. And the big man, he hit 220, you know, second best of his career. But what the 27-year-old did, 34 home runs for a career high. And we got another 100 RBI guy at the catcher position. Not a whole lot of those, Ryan. And we talked about plate appearances, fourth most at the catcher's position. So big boy season from Raleigh. It's one of those, if he could ever just pull a Schwarber and hit like 240, dude, this could be insane. So big, big year for Raleigh. You might have to pay for it, but again, it's another podcast. But yeah, heck of a season for your boy up in Seattle.
Third year in a row that Cal Raleigh has led catchers in home runs. Just making sure. Yeah, Langelier's only at 29. So yeah, three years in a row for Cal Raleigh leading the position in power with 29 homers, 30 homers, 34 homers. The power baseline, you don't get any better than that. I don't know how it was possible to have 100 RBI in Seattle's offense this year, but somehow Cal Raleigh did it. And I actually think, like, I do think, like, a Kyle Schwarber 250 season isn't that crazy. Like, the strikeout rate isn't wild for Cal Raleigh if he just runs into kind of a good luck season. But either way, even if he does hit 220, you plan for it. You take the massive amount of home runs and you go for it. So chipped in 6 steals. That certainly doesn't hurt.
Too. Yeah.
But no, another great series season for the best power hitting catcher in baseball.
Yep, that's good. And I keep trying to stop myself from talking 2025. But yes, there's a discussion point. Yeah, there's a point where the fun discussion is, do you take a Raleigh at 150 or a Langeliers at 250, 260? Because they're not that far off compared to that ADP. But that's, again, another discussion, something to keep analyzing throughout the offseason. The 10th catcher off the board with an ADP of 151. He tied Cal Raleigh, and if you made the wrong decision, you'd felt it. It's Francisco Alvarez. And it's kind of a bummer because he was beat up. He spent a lot of time on the IL. That's just the reality of it. Played in 100 games, 11 homers, 237 average. He had moments where he looked phenomenal and then moments where he just disappeared from the face of the planet. And I am still so confused on who Francisco Alvarez is. Bright side is he's 22 years old. So there's still, like, if I keep to my like adage that I've used on this show, Ryan, for a long time, that these guys are young. They can still take next steps. We've seen certain tools. What's it going to be? There still should be optimism with Alvarez. But overall, if you took the chance on 2024, kind of bit you in the butt considering what went right before him and what went right after him.
It did. And it's certainly what's going to make this season is going to make Alvarez such a hard projection for next year, because you've got all these variables out here. Yes, you have the skills that were really, truly bad in 2024. The barrel rate got cut in half from 12.5% down to 6.7% in 2024. That is no good, especially for how often Francisco Alvarez strikes out, which isn't terrible, but like 25% with that low of a barrel rate, you kind of see why Francisco Alvarez, you know, did what he did, didn't do. But on the other hand, yeah, like you just said, you've got he's a 22-year-old, like one of the top, if not the top catcher prospect coming out of the minors. And how much was this thumb injury impacting Francisco Alvarez when he came back? Missed almost 2 months with a sprained left thumb. So, like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with him next year, but like, it's kind of a lost season for Francisco Alvarez, which makes it tough for any kind of concrete analysis on what he did this year.
Yeah. And this is one of those that, again, I'm looking forward to seeing how he kind of shakes out in early drafts, because he could be a fun one. If it depends on what the Mets keep doing in the postseason, let's put it that way. If he gets more looks and starts to have a couple games, then it'll change. But this is a power bat. Like, we talked catcher's position. Raleigh had 34. Langeliers had 29. The next best was 23 by Will. Or no, Salvi had 27. I legit think Francisco is a 25 to 30 home run bat. I don't doubt that at all. I think that power is there. So if it is the thumb injury and it's healed, like, that power could be legit. And if he can get like 240, 250 with, you know, get more Cal Raleigh type numbers, then you're good. So it's a real, real interesting discussion for him. As Michael C in the chat says, he's wrong one. He's a good bounce back, in my opinion. They don't have a strong catcher two or anyone ready in minors. Yeah, he'll get at bats. There's no sugarcoating that either. So should be interesting. All right. Catchers 11 through 15. The number 10 overall catcher on the season, ADP of 157, six picks after Francisco Alvarez. Was my catcher, I think, three after Yainer Diaz. I think I had him third or fourth. I remember that was a fun discussion point.
He's up there.
Yeah, I had him up. I have to go back and look. But Logan Ohapi. And this was an up and down roller coaster with Ohapi. Good months, rough months overall. Good season. They'll hit 244, 20 bombs, 64 runs and 56 RBIs in that offense. Not all that bad. Threw in two steals. I do have some concerns, though. Batting average jumped quite a bit this past year, almost 30% K rate. That's not good. That's not what you want to see. Let's put it that way. But the barrel rates, hard hits were still pretty, pretty good. Overall, I still love the kid. I say kid, he's 24, be 25 heading into the next season. But that price tag is already skyrocketed. So I'm having a tough time sinking my teeth into that one. I like Ohapi a lot, but that offense is going to deter him tremendously.
That's my biggest thing. So we were just talking about how Cal Raleigh had 100 RBI with, granted, more home runs, 34, but hit 220 over a full season. Logan Ohapi, 20 home runs at 244, had 56 RBI.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's awful. And that's nothing on Ohapi. That's
straight up. He's still the 10th best catcher, which is starting to show the position all of a sudden. Catcher.
Yeah. Right. So this could go one of two ways. Like, you assume that the Angels improve. That's a sketchy assumption. If they don't, like, that's that kind of caps Ohapi's like overall earnings. Cause how much more do you think he can do? You mentioned the strikeout rate. Like, 244 batting average might be a ceiling for the guy. And yeah, maybe could hit more than 20 home runs, but like, you need that better team context, those runs in RBI, to really get that value up. So again, not Ohapi's fault, but I just, when I see 56 RBI across the full season, that's really tough. But for Ohapi himself, I mean, remember, the big question for Ohapi entering the season was what would the power look like? Because right, he tore that labrum in his shoulder, and we did not know what it would be. And I thought the power was fine. Like you, the strikeout rate, I'm a little bit batting average worried about.
As Sarah keeps telling us, don't be on the Angels. That's how he gets better. That's a start. And Scott Burks mentions it. Second half was bad. Hit 196 with six homers. That really makes you think back to what could have been for Ohapi. Because I got a page here. So if his second half was that bad, first half he hit 276 with 14 homers in the first half, 42 of those RBIs and 41 runs in the first. He crushed it in the first half. Phenomenal first half. Dude, and then it all came crashing down.
Dude had 18 RBI in the second half.
Yeah, that second half was brutal. Jeez. Yeah, that's a rough one to swallow. So it's like, when you look at it, which guy do we get type thing? Can we get like half of the first half guy in the second half? And that's a pretty dang good catcher if that's the case. So I still like Ohapi a lot. He's young. I think he's super talented. That team's going to crush him. That's just the bummer. It's Oakland A's-esque, or Athletics-esque, I should say now. According to Lawrence Butler, he said they're called the Athletics from now on. No Oakland over there. So we got that going. We'll see how that one goes for sure. All right, number 12, Gabriel Moreno, ADP of 167, 20th overall catcher. This was a lost season to injuries when it came to Moreno. Still played 97 games, which surprised me. 266, five homers, three steals. Just, the plate discipline was great, phenomenal for Moreno. But the overall skill set, and a lot of people warned us about heading into 2024. They said a lot of things about he goes to center field too much, he doesn't have the pull power, all these things. Between injuries and overall production, it was a very, very bad season for Gabriel Moreno.
Yeah, and despite the injuries, kind of what we expected. Like, I think we wanted a little more in the 266 batting average. But, like, in the forecaster, we did an upside of 300 batting average for Moreno. That obviously didn't pan out. But the play skills, like you said, look really good. For me to take Moreno next year, I just need to see some type of counting stat. And to have five homers in 351 plate appearances is just, it's not going to do it. So unless you're severely batting average restricted, he's tough.
Yeah, I don't even think I can take him as a catcher too, to be honest. Like, there's so many other guys I think I'd rather take a chance on than Gabby, which could backfire, but I'm good. Just
24, right? Like, super young, could take that next step. I mean, that's one of your
play through injuries. There's a lot of things that could factor into it.
I mean, with the injuries, how banged up was he when he was healthy? All the stuff that we don't know and we'll never know. But I think the power is so capped, man. A, there's just not much power there, and he just hits so many ground balls that both of those things have to grow at the same time for us to see an uptick in homers.
All right, the 13th catcher off the board, another Seattle Mariner.
Ooh.
Mitch Garver, ADP of 168, finished 37th at the position. 172 average, 15 homers, 51 RBIs. Coming off a season where he hit 270 with 19 homers in Texas. Strikeout rate went through the roof, nearly 31%, Ryan. I don't like to use the word he's dust very often, but I think Mitch Garver is dust when it comes to fantasy, at least.
It's tough to say that, but yeah, I mean, what happens next year? It was a very, Mitch Garver, first year in a new city, did not start off well, and you could tell. He was, just looking at his interviews after games and some of the stuff he said to kind of the local press is, he did not meet expectations as a free agent. It wore on him and just kept wearing on him all season. Now, dust is probably the right word. I need to dive in a little bit more, but nothing good came from this, from the skills. And like you said, 33, I don't even know if he finds a job next year.
So it feels a lot like Gary Sanchez, where he's going to have to be a journeyman, find the job, play a third of the time, and maybe that's what he needs. Like, he's always been a platoon guy when he's the second part of the platoon. When he's the first part, he never really produces. So he might just need to kind of be a face lefties, catch from time to time, but primarily DH type dude. But see where that fits in on this one.
Yeah.
All right, the 14th catcher off the board. This was a big L from me. ADP of 176, 28th catcher overall in the season. That's one Bo Naylor. He played in 123 games, 13 homers, 6 steals, 201 batting average, 31.4% K rate. Those are horrific. Those were not what we saw in his previous profiles. Did have a decent hard hit rate and barrel rate compared to his previous norms that he's had in small samples. But overall, just a disastrous season. He had only had like one decent month, and it wasn't even that great. So I'm having a tough time evaluating him. Again, 24 years old. The skills are there. But man, that was brutal to watch with Bo Naylor this year.
It was. And this is almost kind of the other side of your, you know, like we were talking about with like Francisco Alvarez. Oh, he's only 22. He could, you know, accelerate from the normal growth curve. This is kind of the opposite side of that, where maybe the book gets out on Bo Naylor and just doesn't progress as much as you think. Because Bo Naylor, I mean, pretty considerable prospect pedigree coming into the majors, and skills look pretty damn solid last year. I don't see the power plummeted, strikeouts plummeted. I just don't see how you predict that. So it's definitely an L. I don't need to know what's the lesson learned from this one.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. It's a great question. What's the lesson? Maybe bigger sample size. It's not the youth part, but more the bigger sample to get too excited about type thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause did only have, no, it's a good point. Did only have, he had 8 plate appearances in 22, so basically nothing. Only 236 in 2023. So did we really, even though the skills were good in 2023, was that really Bo Naylor? And 236 plate appearances, you don't know if that's the true guy. So maybe that is one of the learnings here.
At least with an early pick, but take those chances later. Maybe not so much, especially if you're looking for replacement value. You might want to lock in some more steady catching potentially. Yeah. Well, now we can ask the same question here then, Ryan. What was the learning curve on this one? Kiber Ruiz, he was the 15th catcher off the board, finished 15th at the position. So that's a plus. ADP of 183. The downside is you drafted him for a decent batting average, hit 229. Plate skills were still good. The strikeout rates walked a little less, but strikeouts were good. 13 homers, 3 steals. I know homeboy lost like 30 pounds due to an injury, so I think we could probably take a little bit of a leeway with him on this one, but overall, it was a good season, but I think we all expected more from Kiber Ruiz.
We certainly expected more. I think, yeah, in terms of like lesson learned, yeah, don't draft someone who was going to fall ill and lose 20 to 30 pounds.
Viral infection.
Yeah, it was, I mean, and it was bad. It was really bad for Kiber Ruiz. And I think it had affected him once he came back. Like, I mean, losing, I've never lost 20 to 30 pounds in my life before, but I can imagine that's and especially from illness,
rapidly, completely dehydrating you and stuff. Yes. Big difference.
I doubt you just instantly come back and you're good. And that's what we saw with Kiber. He had one home run in each month of the season, April, May, and June. Second half, Kiber Ruiz was Kiber Ruiz again, hit 250, 9 home runs, you know, nothing special, but that's kind of the guy you expected to draft, someone with a decent batting average, decent home run total, is going to play a ton. That's who Kiber Ruiz was in the second half. So I just think you just wonder what would have happened if he didn't, you know, lose all that weight and get sick first part of the season. I think we would have seen a normal Kiber Ruiz. And again, at the end of the day, he was 15th drafted and finished 15th.
Yeah, what you wanted.
You got what you wanted if you didn't cut him in the first
half.
That's
true.
But on the season as a whole, you kind of got what you wanted. And I think for next year, if this is any kind of dip, I will be right back in on Ruiz.
All right, we move over to 16 through 30. We'll just highlight a few names here in the pockets. 16 through 20 was Jonah Heim. He finished 19th in the position. 17th is Henry Davis, finished 95th at the position. Luis Campusano finished 32nd in AAA at the position. Alejandro Kirk finished 27th. And Tyler Stevenson finished 8th. So I want to hit on two of these guys. Jonah Heim, Ryan, was 16th off the board, finished 19th at the position. I just want to highlight it because this is a dude that, coming off a really strong 2023, in 2024, he got to a point where he wasn't even playing. Then he came back to play and didn't, might as well just not played type scenario. Hit 220 with 13 homers. He'll be 30 this year. So this is a little different than our other questions with young players. Jonah Heim's a guy that, lots of questions. And my 19th might have been a fortunate finish on this one.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's probably just because he had 490 plate appearances and just racked up at least some counting stats. But no, certainly, like, yeah, the power dropped. Batting average, I'm not too worried about. Like, the drop from 220, the carry rate was fine. Just was a low BABIP, but it's same BABIP that he had in 2022. So maybe 23 is the outlier. And then the other thing is, I mean, along the lines of what we were talking about with the Mariners, the Texas offense was not nearly what it was in 2023. And that certainly hurt Jonah Heim, who had 95 RBI last year while he hit just 258 with 18 home runs. I mean, that's basically Logan Ohapi had 95 RBI Jonah Heim did last year. And Ohapi had less than 60. So I think just kind of a confluence of factors with Heim. I think going into next season, he's just kind of one of those catcher twos who's going to play, and you just take him and you're not that excited.
Yep, that's fair. Other guy I want to mention here, ADP 239, Tyler Stevenson, 20th off the board, finished 8th at the position, 258 average, 19 homers, even threw in a steal. We saw him play 138 games after playing 142, which is big because he was battling injuries for a couple years. Saw the barrel rate and the hard hit rate back up, which was awesome to see from Stevenson, because it wasn't too long ago where people thought this was the next big thing for fantasy. And if you really want to break it down, he was getting healthy in the second half, where he hit 274 in the second half with 9 homers compared to 245 with 10 homers in the first half. So really got the hit tool working even more. The power was there all around, but if you can increase that batting average at the catcher's position, that's pretty tremendous. So wanted to throw Tyler Stevenson out there. I know you've had some kind words for him throughout the parts of last season on some bloom boards. So the floor is yours. Man.
Oh, yeah. And I drafted him in the meatball draft. So he's my first.
Wanted to tee up. See?
My first catcher for 2025. And yeah, top 10 Tyler Stevenson with some pretty nice skill growth. I mean, you mentioned it. You covered it well. The jump in barrel rate while also cutting down your strikeout rate at this age, it's a great sign. And then you add on the park that Tyler Stevenson plays in, and that's even better. 2 seasons in a row, 500 plus plate appearances. Like you mentioned before, that's, I don't want to say a dying breed, but that's kind of a rare breed at the current state of the catcher pool. So really nice season for Tyler Stevenson. It for a while there, it did not look like the power was going to materialize at all. So this was nice to see him pop 19 with a barrel rate to kind of back it up.
Yep, 515 plate appearances as well. So that's the last of the top 9 catchers with 500 or more plate appearances. So we even helped in that regard also. All right, let's go through 21 through 25. You have Langoliers, Jeffers, Diaz, Elias Diaz. Austin Wells snuck all the way up here, finished 18th at the position. Connor Wong. I want to mention Shea Langoliers at first. I kind of hinted at him earlier. ADP of 258, 21st off the board, finished 7th at the position. And that's with a 224 average. Like, I know last year, 205 made a lot of people wary of him, but 29 home runs, 4 steals, even 80 RBIs on an Oakland Athletics team. Let that sink in for 2 seconds. 80 RBIs for Shea Bengaliers over there. 534 plate appearances, 7th best at the position. So big stuff, 26 years old. What's your thoughts on this? I want to say breakout season, honestly, for Langoliers, who was cemented as the catcher one for the A's. And he was that the previous year, but he really kind of took off with it this year.
He absolutely did. And the power is almost Cal Raleigh-esque. Like it is interesting, the Cal Raleigh comp. Langoliers won't be an ADP at 258 next year, but kind of those endless that you see, why draft this guy when you can draft this guy X rounds later? That comp could be Langoliers with
look Kyle at the Raleigh ballpark he's moving to, Ryan. Come on. And,
yeah, that'll be the other thing we hear. And hey, we're guilty of it, but that'll be the other thing we hear about a million times is moving from Oakland to Sacramento, which certainly has to help with that heat in the summer and et cetera, et cetera. So Langoliers, awesome season, top 7. It's actually interesting. I know we'll talk about some other guys in this group. The 21 to 25 group fared better than the 15 to 20, fared better than the 11 to 15 group. It's kind of weird. Like if you waited on catcher in those mid rounds, you probably got hosed with your Moreno, Garver, Naylor, Heim, Davis, Campusano, Kirk. But if you really waited, this turned out to be, God, this last tier looks awful. It's the last horrific. 5, but
yeah, you don't want to be down there.
Jesus, that's a lot of rare steak red, but this 21 through 25 group was actually quite fruitful in 2024.
And it makes you wonder if you took one catcher early and then you just waited literally like 200 picks. You could have done something fun here. Like 150, 200 picks. You could have went 10 rounds or so before you took your second catcher, and worked out pretty good for you. Ryan Jeffers, even though he finished horrifically, the first half was so good. Still 11th at the position, 21 home runs.
Yep.
I am lost in 2025 to what to do with him, because start of the year, playing almost every day, turned into a platoon catcher in the second half, and that's going to be a massive concern. But you're not drafting him like a catcher one, so that's kind of a plus.
Yep, agreed. He was your guy, man. We were doing daily gifts of home run numbers, and then it
finished with 21, which was good. Still very good. But
yeah, he did.
Elias Diaz didn't even end the season with the team he started with. I want to hit on Connor Wong and highlight this ball player. ADP of 336, 25th catcher off the board. Connor Wong finished 9th at the catcher's position. And a couple things I want to highlight. 28 years old. Played in 126 games, 487 plate appearances for Connor Wong. That's 11th best at the catcher's position, which is pretty good. 13 homers, 8 steals, .280 average. So, honestly, this is former Red Sox catcher Christian Vasquez's stat line. Hits for average, little power, little speed. That's Christian Vasquez in a nutshell when he was in his prime for the Red Sox. And Connor Wong is doing this right now, and I actually kind of believe this is who he is. Maybe not the average so much as but everything else. Like the strikeout rate cut tremendously, Ryan. When you look at Connor Wong, what stands out to you here? Is this like a blip to you, or is this something we can maybe build off of?
It's always tough to tell. Like the big thing with the batting average, if you look at just 2024 in a vacuum, this dude dropped 10 points off his strikeout rate from 33%, which is bad, to 23%, which is like league average. And that's really a lot of what drove the batting average improvement from 235 up to 280, which is really what kind of then drove this value from Connor Wong. So the stolen bases is also very nice, right? That's an underrated part. I mentioned earlier, William Contreras with 9, Wong had 8. They were the only two catchers, again, with more than 6 home runs or 6 steals. We'd like to see more Wong dongs in 2025.
You just got me excited for my future tweets.
Only 13 WDs for Connor Wong. But I don't see that really improving either. I mean, the barrel rate, there's 21 barrels on those 13 homers. So to put it at the end of the day, like a very nice, well-rounded catcher, which is like there's really only two of them that can actually steal and hit for average, and that's William Contreras and Connor Wong. And William Contreras obviously does more than that, and that's why he's the top catcher. But yeah, great season for Connor Wong, and with the ability to play, he played 14 right. games at first, played and? six games at second base.
Yep,
played in left field. Like this is a guy conceivably, if the Red Sox are in a pinch, play every day and approach 500 plus plate appearances next year.
Yeah, he was a catcher 2/3 on a lot of my DCs because I knew the year before he played a lot of second base and stuff too. Like they put him out there so plate appearances would be available based on injuries. So yeah, I like Connor Wong, and he runs for a catcher. I'm just thinking, like, can the strikeout rate continue?
That's the thing. And that's always something I hear, see all the time is, Connor Wong improved his strikeout rate by 10 points this year. He's now a batting average asset. Most of the time that falls back.
Yeah, 10's a huge jump. Even if it falls back 5, now he's hitting .250, which is still good, but that's not .280.
Exactly. So that is one thing I want to caution is don't think Connor Wong is suddenly a .280 hitter because he dropped his K rate. Like, yes, in 2024 that supported it, but more often than not, these guys tend to kind of go back to who they were.
Yep, agreed. All right, we don't need to talk about any of these guys unless you want The final five. The 26th catcher was Drake Rogers, finished 36. He actually finished the year better than people think, but still horrible season. Rene Pinto, 27th catcher, finished 63rd. Gary Sanchez, 28th catcher, finished 35th. Danny Jansen, 29th, finished 44th. And then Yan Gomes didn't even finish playing in Major League Baseball, finished 76th at the position. I have nothing to say about this group.
I got nothing either. We just got Uncle Ted back in the chat. He's alive. Good to see you, man. Good to see Uncle Ted with the brand name this time. Yiner Diaz.
He was all over the bench with Bubba Feet earlier. He's around.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Glad you're back.
That wraps up our top 30 catchers. How about you give us the couple sleepers that we or breakouts, I guess, that we had this year?
Yeah, so there were only two, and that's kind of a thing, and that goes along with kind of, I think, what we were talking about earlier with catchers is, and this is, since it's, I mean, it's been the last 2 years, it's very stable up top, and then it's very rocky, I think even more so than other positions. So there were only two quote-unquote breakouts, and what I'm calling a breakout is anyone who finished top 20 that was drafted outside of the top 30. David Fry was undrafted, finished 13th, had a hell of a start to the season, and then kind of became David Fry again. And then your boy, Joey Bart, was also undrafted, but finished 16th. A lot of that, just that surge with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because there definitely wasn't a surge with the Giants, so that's true. 265, 13 homers, even 45 RBIs in 80 games. Like, that's really productive in Pittsburgh. You got to like seeing that with Bart. And what I wanted to look at here is his splits, because in July hit 276 and in August hit 288 with 8 home runs over those 2 months. That's second half of the year, dude hit 280 with 70 home runs. That's pretty good. Pretty good stuff there from Joey Bart. So I'm intrigued with him going forward this year. I'm curious to see how that pans out. That's for sure.
And then real quick on David Fry, since I had some serious FOMO because I did not fab him. I mean, this was like a fab darling. Hit 310, 8 home runs, 4 steals in the first half. 211, hit 211 in the second half. No steals. 6 home runs, 16 runs, 19 RBI. That is quite honestly awful for David Fry, who actually, this is a little tidbit. He does qualify catcher next year, but only played 23 games at catcher, played 20 at first and played 20 in the outfield. So he will be
triple
catcher position. First outfield eligible, and wow. He won't use 2 of the 3. So,
yeah, that's that'll be interesting. As Uncle Ted in the chat here mentions, Adrian Del Castillo is money, a lefty catcher that smashes. He will not play with Gabby Moreno around. Just remember that. Unless they decide to platoon out of nowhere, that would be fun. All right. Got a couple listener comments/questions to go over here, which is always good to see. Our buddy Burks, Oregon Duck, says, after the opening news notes, is Ryan taking the rest of the night off? No, Ryan was phenomenal on this show, people.
Thank you. Wow. Sweating down here.
BP at futures_bet says, I have a $3 Yiner Diaz and a 12-team mixed league keeper. No worries about him, right? Really picked it up in the second half. You take that $3 and run with Yiner Diaz.
Yeah. You do. That's a great price.
That's amazing. Vlad Sedler says, 8 of the first 12 drafted finished top 12, and the other 4 were hurt. Catcher was easily the most straightforward and predictable position among the top half of position pools.
Yeah, and that's I respond to that one. That's kind of a 2-year trend, the stability at the top, because last year it was 8 of the top 10 finished with top 10 value. And really, your only duds in the top 10 this year were Sean Murphy, I would call Realmuto a dud, and then Francisco Alvarez.
Yeah. So. Question is, if you want to make it a straightforward position, you need to take 2 of the top 10. Are you doing that, or are you going to gamble on the rest? Then it's not so straightforward.
Yeah.
So that'd be my counter argument to that. Ben Tidd, our buddy, says, I think Raleigh may warrant consideration as a top 5 catcher next year. Not that I'd push him up into the top 100, but a scenario where JTR and Will Smith potentially fall back behind. He could get up there. I think there's still enough JTR lovers, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, we don't need to decide now. I'd wonder who I would take, Raleigh or JTR next year. Imagine if Cal Raleigh got traded, too, outside of T-Mobile. Doing all this in one of the worst hitting parks in baseball.
Could have been Coors. Let's go.
I hope not.
But no, it won't. Yes. It won't happen. Cal's not going. You never know with Dylan DePoto, but I don't think Cal's going anywhere.
Yeah,
but they do have a couple catcher prospects, so you never know.
Harry Ford.
Yep. Heath Caps says, question is, why do we keep ignoring Travis d'Arnaud as a catcher too? I agree. I wrote him up many times in Fab last year. Big fan of what he brings to the table, especially when he's playing over Sean Murphy, which he does when Sean's hurt, and then splits time with him. Yeah, 238, 15 homers, 225, 11 homers, 268, 18. you kind of overlook him because it's nothing flashy, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Are they running that back again next year? Are both pretty of sure those guys that. I'm pulling up? Let's see.
Murphy, yeah, club option for 2025 for Travis.
Okay, and Murphy's around till 2029, so it'll be the same song and dance next season. I would assume the Braves.
I think they would pick up the option.
$8 million.
So, and especially they've seen how valuable having that option back there is. That's nice to have. Heathcap also says, also Pinto really bummed me out as a depth pick. Thought I was getting some at bats there, but nope. Yeah, a lot of people thought that.
There were a lot of kind of popular trend. It wasn't just us who love Bo Naylor, who love Luis Camposano. I know you were not on Henry Davis at all. That turned out to be good. Nope. A lot of people on Rene Pinto. A lot of these kind of trendy, popular late catchers pretty much shit the bed this year. And that definitely sets you back because you're scrambling trying to find catcher two production on the waiver wire. It was out there. It was out there, but it was out there in spurts. You needed to time it right, like an Adrian Del Castillo. You needed to time that right and move on at the right time, et cetera. There was not those kind of big catcher pickups that lasted the whole season. Very few of those. So it set you back.
Like Michael C. says, Higashioka might be a solid catcher too in the Bart mold. He's been really good. I agree. He was another one of those fab pickups as the season went on. He played well as a backup for the Yankees. Like what we're seeing now is kind of who he's been. Just never had the full run to show it. So. Don't mind Higgy. Higgy's got some life to him. I wouldn't break the bank for him, but I do see the catcher two appeal.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, you survived. You survived the catcher review. Now the preview might be a little different for you, but you survived the review. Any final thoughts here before we move on from the 2024 catchers?
Disappointed we only went an hour six, man. I mean, I thought after our Will Smith debate, that was about 10 minutes in itself. I thought we were in for an all-nighter. But
I don't think anybody wanted to talk about Jake Rogers, Rene Pinto, Luis Camposano. If you wanted me to make fun of people for Henry Davis, I could have, but that's kind of rude at that point in the show.
Have you identified your, if you're doing it, have you identified your 50 catchers for the Black Book?
Not yet. I'll start that here pretty soon. Like I told you the other day, I got my text message to see if I was interested in writing for it again this year. I said yes, and that's all I've heard. So I'm on the list. I'm assuming I'm doing catchers. But that hasn't been officially
for the brand.
You know, yeah. But no, last year I started that at FPAS. We'll see if I do it before or at FPAS again.
Oh, I'm aware. The famous Omar Narvaez incident where I look over and you're on his Fangraphs page in the middle of a FPAS session. What the hell are you doing on Omar Narvaez's Fangraphs page?
And then he played this year, didn't he?
Yeah. Hey, Austin Hayes didn't homer tonight, by the way.
No, he did not. Omar Narvaez this year, just for fun, in 28 games, hit 154 with no homers, 4 runs, and 5 RBIs. Big season.
Good. Glad you spent those hours diving in there.
That's what I do. I'm for the people. No stone unturned around here in the catcher's position. But all right, that'll wrap us up for this week's episode. I'm not sure. I guess we'll go to first base on Thursday. It'll always be a surprise, folks. It won't always be a review episode, but if nothing else comes up, we'll start first base review.
We'll do first base. I got nothing in my head right now, or I've prepped anything. So
there we go.
And plus, Thursday is going to be a different time than normal. Just a heads up. If anyone's still listening, I guess I'll mention it on the Thursday show, but I've got like a planned power outage in my neighborhood Thursday night. So need to adjust.
We'll probably be going sometime in the afternoon for us on Thursday. So be prepared for that as well. But until then, first base, here we come. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and I am at BD Intric. And for now, this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 176, your 2024 catcher review. Catch y'all next time.